You would turn with me in God's Word to Matthew's Gospel in chapter 22. Matthew's Gospel and chapter 22, we'll be reading the whole chapter, verses 1 through 46. Matthew 22, and beginning in verse 1, these are the words of the living and true God. And Jesus answered and spoke to them again by parables and said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son and sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding. And they were not willing to come. Again, he sent out other servants saying, 'Tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted cattle are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding.' But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his own farm, another to his business. And the rest seized his servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. When the king heard about it, he was furious. He sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. And he said to his servants, 'The wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding.' So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said to him, 'Friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment?' And he was speechless. And the king said to the servants, 'Bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.' Then the Pharisees went and plotted how they might entangle him in his talk. And they sent to him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, 'Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God in truth. Nor do you care about anyone, for you do not regard the person of men. Tell us, therefore, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?' But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, 'Why do you test me, you hypocrites? Show me the tax money.' So they brought him a denarius. And he said to them, 'Whose image and inscription is this?' They said to him, 'Caesar's.' And he said to them, 'Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's.' When they had heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way. The same day the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to him and asked him, saying, 'Teacher, Moses said that if a man dies having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were with us seven brothers. The first died after he had married, and having no offspring, left his wife to his brother. Likewise the second also, and the third, even to the seventh. Last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife of the seven will she be? For they all had her.' Jesus answered and said to them, 'You are mistaken, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels of God in heaven. But concerning the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what was spoken to you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob? God is not the God of the dead, but of the living.' And when the multitudes heard this, they were astonished at his teaching. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, 'Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?' Jesus said to him, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.' While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he? They said to him, the son of David. He said to them, how then does David in the Spirit call him Lord, saying, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. If David then calls him Lord, how is he his son? And no one was able to answer him a word, nor from that day on did anyone dare question him anymore. Those are God's words. Again in Jerusalem, Christ on this last week before his crucifixion comes in authority speaking to all who would hear. And he spoke through verse 10 in a parable of the marriage supper, which concerns the Jews' rejection of Christ, who invited them to come, and the calling of the Gentiles because of the Jews' rejection. Then through verse 14, one not clothed in the wedding garments of Christ and his righteousness had come in to the church, showing forth the danger of hypocrisy in your profession of faith. And if you do not have true saving faith, you'll be cast out. And then through verse 22, those who oppose Jesus, whether it's Sadducees or Pharisees, they try to trip him up in his teaching in paying tribute to Caesar. And through verse 33, in the resurrection of the dead, they try to trip him up. And then through verse 40, concerning the greatest commandment, and then to the end of the passage, concerning the relation of the Messiah to David as Jesus was questioning them. And beloved, no one was able to answer him a word, nor anyone after that day did anyone dare question him anymore. And that's because he is the Lord. He's the Lord. And two distinct natures. He has a divine nature, human nature. God's people do not question the Lord. He is full of authority. And his word is what we must believe with all of our heart. And we often like to try to question God, to question Jesus, to question his word. And we'll hear this evening about that when we look at a great sin, that sin of pride. Let's pray. Our Father, we're thankful for your word. We're thankful that you speak to us and how gracious you are to speak to us, to speak to us your word, your living word that is breathed out by you and profitable for every good thing and every good work for us, your people. That in it you teach us and correct us and reprove us and train us in righteousness. And Father, you, through your word, proclaim the gospel. Through your word, proclaim the judgments to those who fail to believe and reject Jesus Christ. That as you say, that if we don't believe, we are condemned already. And so, Father, may it be true of each one here, from the youngest to the oldest, that we would believe. That we would believe the good news, which is the greatest news in all of creation and all of eternity. That you sent your Son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins, the sins of your people, your elect, because you eternally have loved us and will continue loving us for all eternity future. And Father, again, as we prayed this morning, we have sinned against you. We come to the Lord's Supper this evening and we confess our sins. They are great. We have broken the two greatest commandments we heard just now. To love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourself. We've broken your law. And yet, Father, you are gracious to us, your children. And you cleanse us with the washing of water with the word and by the blood of Jesus Christ. Father, we plead with you this evening that you would care for the church. You would care for the body of Christ. And you make us one as we are one in union with your Son. And as it says, that there is one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. And so make us united in the truth. Father, pray for the congregations who just have recently called ministers. We praise you for the calling of the Columbia congregation, of a minister or of a candidate for ministry to be their pastor. We praise you also for the Denison congregation being able to call a man. And we ask that their exams that would come in November would go well. And you would fill those pulpits consistently with a minister of the gospel. For what great blessing that is, and a great blessing especially for the Columbia congregation, who has been without a minister that congregation's entire life as a body of your people. And so, Father, we pray that you would bless them and uphold them as you have upheld us. We pray also for those congregations that are seeking a minister, the Oklahoma City church plant, and even in the beginning stages of the Houston church plant. We ask that you would provide for them. Also in San Antonio, they're seeking a minister to be their church planter and already worshiping just like the Oklahoma City church. We ask that you would provide for them. And we know that there is one candidate today in Oklahoma City. We pray that you would bless them and give them wisdom if that is the man to be called. Father, we give you praise. We are thankful that we can gather together in your name to worship you, the living and true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We're thankful for your promises in which we grasp onto with all of our might. We pray that we would never let go in Christ your Son and by your Holy Spirit. For we know that you are faithful in all that you say and promise. And you will bring all things to pass exactly as you've promised. For you are the faithful God who never breaks promise, never is unfaithful, unlike us. Father, we're thankful for the young children that you've brought into the life of this congregation and those which are still in the womb. We pray for each one that you would save them. You would give them faith. We pray for all of our children that you would turn them to yourself. That the most important thing in their life would be Jesus Christ, who is their only hope. The only possible hope that anyone can have is in Him. So, Father, we pray that each one would believe unto salvation, even looking forward unto sanctification, unto glorification, which we all now look forward to. Even as we celebrate the Lord's Supper this evening, we look forward to that marriage supper of the Lamb, in which you have, as we read, you have called us to the wedding feast, not just the Jews, but the Gentiles too. Us who were bad and wicked and sinful, you brought in. And you clothed us with the garments of Jesus Christ. And yet, Father, we also acknowledge that same parable taught us that there maybe some amongst us who don't have on the wedding garments, who've publicly professed faith, and yet it's a lie. So, Father, we pray that you would convict them of their sin and cause them, if it be your will, to turn unto you, lest they be bound up and cast out where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. We do not want that for anyone here. And so we pray for each one that you would bring them to yourself. Father, as we now seek to praise your name, help us by your Spirit and by your grace. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.